If Jesus would go on tour, what would he say? And if Jesus, let's say Jesus comes to Decatur and he is at Kirkland Fine Arts Center, one night only, what would he say? And number two, who would come? Who would be there? Now, I would pretty much assume that if Jesus came to speak at Kirkland Fine Arts Center, that there would be a lot of Christians there, so that they could walk away and say, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus on tour. But I would also venture to say that there would be a good number of people that may be there just to investigate, listen, consider his claims and what he might have to say. So who would Jesus primarily address? Well, I think what Jesus would do, I think he would do something in that moment that he did a lot in his ministry. I think he would talk primarily to those who are investigating. But by talking to them, he would really be talking to the Christians, like he did the Pharisees all the time. He would make a statement, he would tell a story, and yes, the intended audience was those that didn't know him, but oftentimes he was sending a message to those who were the most religious, the most all that goes with that. So how would it start? And I think it would start with two words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For those who are there who are investigating, who have maybe been turned off, who have maybe wondered what is all about, I think the very first words that he would say is, I'm sorry for all of the damage that has been done in my name. I think he would say, I'm sorry for all of the judging that goes on in my name. You know, how many times, and I'm going to go back and forth on this, but how many times did Jesus say those three simple words, do not judge? Several, right? Several times. And yet, it seems like for many, we almost make it our job to stand in judgment of this group or that lifestyle or this or that, and doing exactly what he said not to do. And I think sometimes we even do the very same thing. And especially around funerals, I think sometimes this happens, is that we tend to judge people on their, you know, somebody dies and what's the question that's often asked? Well, did they go to church? And if they went to church, then we make the assumption that they were a Christian. And if they didn't go to church, then we make the assumption that they weren't. Are you kidding me? That's judging. And that's judging that based on this or based on that, that they must be there or they must be there and whatever. I think Jesus would say, I am sorry for the damage that's been done in my name, and I'm sorry for all of the judging that simply goes on far too often. Number three, I think he would say this, and I'm also sorry for all the fighting. For the fighting that goes on in his name. Whether it's fighting over doctrine or people in churches fighting over the color of the new carpet in the sanctuary. The fighting that oftentimes goes on in his name. When Jesus came to bring people together, when he came to bring peace, when he came to bring reconciliation, and instead of uniting ourselves, we simply divide ourselves more and more often in more and more ways. I think Jesus would say, I'm sorry for that. It was never my intention. I think Jesus would also say, I'm sorry for all of the building that goes on. I'm sorry for the money that is spent building this. And it's not just a modern problem, by the way. People have been building buildings and using money that was intended to do this or that to build structures that Jesus never, ever said for us to do. Now, is it wrong to have a place to? No. But I think oftentimes it gets kind of stripped away and the perspective is lost. Yes, you got to have a place. You got to have somewhere to meet. But it doesn't have to be, well, you get my point, right? I think he would apologize for that. That instead of maybe that same money helping the poor, and we'll talk about that, instead of that same money being used to feed the hungry, instead of that same money being used to... It gets misused. And I think he would apologize for that. The next one. I think Jesus would apologize and say, I'm sorry, to the women in the audience. I think he would apologize to the women in the audience for the way they have been treated in churches. I think he would really apologize and say, I'm sorry that the way things have been interpreted and the way you have been treated because of a couple of verses that Paul wrote when he was addressing some specific issues in two different churches. And instead of it being limited to that and people understanding what was going on there, it has been used as a club, and it has been used to say to women, you are not as valuable, you are not as important, you are not as able to do ministry in my kingdom as men are. And I think Jesus would say to you ladies, I am so sorry for the way you've been treated. And I think maybe some of the ladies would say, amen. Amen. About time somebody said that. I think Jesus would also say, I'm sorry for all of the begging for money that goes on. Now, yes, any movement needs resources. Jesus needed resources. He had, by the way, he had a group of women who did what? Paid the bills. See, we'll let them pay the bills, but we won't let them teach a Bible class. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, but all of the begging that goes on, I mean, and I'm going to get into this again in just a minute, but, you know, I mean, just watch some Christian television. And it's like, really? You know? And yes, I know to be on television, you have to have bills and pay this and pay that, you know, but often what is the impression that is given? And you've heard me say it how many times over the year, the impression is all the church really wants is what? Is my money. And I think Jesus would apologize for that and say, that is not the way I intended it to be. Yes, give. Yes, he talked about that, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. But this whole idea, or you get these guys, and sometimes I get up in the middle of the night, I can't sleep or whatever, and I'll turn on the TV, and that's when it gets real interesting, Christian television. You get these people that, you know, for, you know, $49.95, they will send you this vial of miracle spring water. Or for $39.95, you can have this prayer cloth that has been prayed over by this or by that. And people are watching this and they are saying, if that's what it's about, you know, forget it. I'll take my chances. Because I don't have anything to do with that. I think also Jesus would say, I'm sorry for all of the gossiping that goes on, especially inside the churches. You know what? And churches have a great way of gossiping without gossiping. And I'm not picking on you, Joyce, because you do not do this. But you know one of the greatest ways to gossip among a church? It's called a prayer chain. Because see, you can air everybody's dirty laundry by just saying, well, we need to pray for them. Oh, did you hear? We need to pray for them. And instead of being helped, instead of being supported, instead of being loved and accepted, what oftentimes happens is the people feel judged and condemned. And again, say, if that's what it's about, you can forget it. I think also, and this is one I feel really, really strongly about because I see this. And by the way, one of the reasons I think that I'm sharing this and taking the time to share this with you is because I see so much of this almost every day. And I see what goes on in Jesus' name that actually people are just almost repelled by and repulsed by. And I think that's why sometimes these things mean so much to me. And every once in a while, I just got to puke it out. But here's the one I think that is that Jesus would say more than just about anything is that I'm sorry for the fear tactics that are used. I'm sorry for the fear tactics that are used. What do I mean by that? I think you know what I mean by that. Instead of encouraging people and loving people and instead of accepting people and sharing with them this incredibly great gift that we all have an opportunity to receive, what oftentimes is attempted to do is literally to scare the hell out of people. And it's words of judgment and it's words of fire and brimstone and damnation. Words that were in the Bible that were never intended to be used that way. Because you've heard me say before, when Jesus used those words, who was he talking to? Was he talking to lost sinners who needed a Savior? No. He was talking to the religious people who should have known better. That's who he was talking to when he talked about those very ideas. Or here's a new one that's kind of come around the last 100 years or so, is that we scare people with the whole concept of the second coming. Not only do we scare them with, you know, the fires of hell, but we scare them with, don't get left behind. You know. Make sure you've got this so that when, you know, Jesus comes, you're not left behind with, you know, and all that's going to happen and tribulation and all that goes with that. And I think Jesus would say, I am so sorry. Jesus never did that. He never used fear as a tactic to gain an audience. He didn't have to. Instead, he simply loved and healed and encouraged, and was there for people. Next one. This one's kind of funny, but I think Jesus would apologize for our bumper stickers. I just saw one this morning. I don't remember what it said. Let me see if I can find it on here, because I was going to give you a whole lot of these, but you can kind of see this. I can get up on the screen, but it'll take a while. It's one of those, you know, Christian fish. And the caption of the bumper sticker says, "This fish won't fry, will you?"
Not. There it is.
No, no, this was online. I found that on, yeah. "This fish won't fry." Yeah, get with me. Come on. Yeah, see? Yeah, and I wrote a midweek lift about this one several years ago. The church billboard that said during the summer, all it said was, "You think it's hot here?" Really? Yeah, and how many people read that sign and I think I'll go to that church. And I think, yes, in many ways, what we're talking about here is just an attitude and an idea that sometimes I don't even think people hear themselves talk and understand or even think about what that sounds like to the average person that may be out there that really is looking for answers. Next one. This I already kind of mentioned before, but most, I think Jesus would apologize for most Christian television. You know, when you read the Bible and you read what Jesus said, you know, it's kind of like reading a text or an email. You don't know the inflection. You don't know the volume. But I don't think, maybe other than one time, which was actually two times, reported in the Gospels, that I think Jesus ever raised his voice. And he probably raised his voice, you know, when he was doing what? When he was cleansing the temple. But other than that, I don't think Jesus yelled and screamed at the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think Jesus raised his voice and, you know, yelled and screamed at people to somehow gain an audience. And I think sometimes, again, I think Jesus would apologize for what is being done and the yelling and the screaming that is done in his name for purposes that I'm not always sure are so spiritual. I think Jesus might make a point about this too. I've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again. I think Jesus, if he was at Kirkland, I think he would pause for a moment, and I think he would ask all of the waiters and the waitresses in the room to stand up. All the waiters and all the waitresses who've ever waited tables for a living, I think he would stand up and I think he would look them in the eye and I think he would apologize to them. And I think he would say to them, I am so sorry for all of these cheap followers of mine who are too cheap to tip. Did I hear an amen over there? When is it that waiters and waitresses hate to work the most? On Sunday morning.
And it's not just because they're cheap.
They're nasty. Thank you. My point exactly. And you're right, and it's not just about being cheap, but did you hear what Janice said? Because of the behavior of those people, how did it affect her? Negatively. Turned her off. If that's what it's about, if that's what it's like, you can have it. And that's what I think so often people just don't understand or don't get. Next to last, I think Jesus would, I think he would say, I'm sorry for all of the complaining that goes on by Christians about politicians. Happens a lot, doesn't it? I think Jesus would say, yeah, I've read your emails. I know. I see the stuff that gets forwarded around. I hear and see the emails that long for the good old days. The days when things were simpler. The things when days were this. But you know something, and I don't know that I've ever said this publicly, but you know, be very careful about longing for the good old days. Because in the good old days, black people couldn't vote. In the good old days, there were separate water fountains and special sections for black people in the back of the bus. Be very careful longing for the good old days, because what may have been a good old day for you may not have been so good for others. Be very careful. And I think Jesus would apologize for oftentimes the critical nature and the things that go on, thinking that somehow that is going to change the world. And I think lastly, Jesus would apologize to those who have been beat up and kicked out of churches, and where the Bible has been used as a club instead of information to tell people who and what this God of ours is like. And when I was doing this yesterday, I kind of started this. And when I started it, I didn't quite know when to stop. So here's kind of, and I'm going to read this and maybe comment from time to time, but this is how I think Jesus would maybe end this whole thing. Something like this. This is Jesus speaking, this is not me speaking. This is what I think Jesus might say. I came to start a revolution, not a religion. I came to create a kingdom, not a country club. I came to demonstrate the love of God, not the laws of man. I came to offer grace, not guilt. I came to show the best possible way to live, not just how to know where you're going when you die. I came to give you a gift, not make you pay. You might want to write that one down. I came to give you a gift, not make you pay. I came to be among the poor, not to ignore them. I came to change hearts, not the halls of Congress. I came to demonstrate morality, not legislate it. I came to fill people, not pews. I came to offer renewal, not ritual. I came to offer transformation, not preserve tradition. I came so you would trust me, not turn from me. I'm sorry for the hurt that's been caused in my name by those who claim to know me and follow me. Please forgive them as I forgive you when you get it wrong. Now, do I think Jesus would have an altar call at the end? No way. Do I think he would have a prayer and at the end say, every eye is closed, every head is bowed, and raise your hand? No. Would he do that? No. But I think what he would do is he would make a call to let the revolution of love and grace and acceptance begin again. Where? In our homes, at work, in the car, at family reunions, on the streets, and yes, to let the revolution begin again, even in churches. Now, why this today? Well, it was kind of a series of events and thoughts that led me to this point. But I think the thing that I wanted you to know, and the reason I wanted to share this, is because, yes, and I said this earlier, I'm confronted with this kind of stuff every day. Maybe you aren't, but I am. And I see it, and I see the damage that is being done. And maybe in some ways it will just allow you to open your eyes a bit, see the damage that is done, and then do something about it. But secondly, in many ways, what I'm sharing with you this morning and what I have shared with you in kind of a pretend way, it underlies everything I teach you each and every week. What do I mean by that? Well, why do I want to teach you to be more present? Why have we been spending so much time talking about being here and now and present and enjoying and experiencing everything there is so that you'll what? So that you'll enjoy your life and so that you can actually show people around you that it is possible. It's possible to live that way. Why do I teach you to be more grateful? So you can slow down, be happy, be filled with this supernatural kind of peace that's unexplainable in human terms. And so then you, in turn, can display that to those around you. Why do I teach you to forgive and not be so angry and not worry and be more patient and trust God and love your neighbor and feed the hungry and clothe the naked? Why? So that we can show, display, and demonstrate to the world around us that a life with Jesus is not guilt and condemnation and yelling and screaming and begging and all that goes with that. A life with Jesus is an amazing, incredible kind of life that is really possible here, now, and forever. Somebody's got to show folks what it looks like. Somebody's got to show folks there's more to living than just dying. Somebody's got to show folks that God's just got this thing for all of us. And He so desperately wants everybody to know that and see that and live that. That's what I think Jesus would say on His American tour. So, let's get out of here and go show them that we've heard what He said. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's easy, and I understand that from my perspective. It is easy to see the things that are wrong. It's easy to point fingers and say, that's not right, and you're not doing that right, and shame on you. And yes, that is very easy for me to do. It's easy to point fingers, and maybe I'm doing the same thing here, of pointing fingers and condemning or whatever. But Lord, I think at some point we need to understand and see, not from our eyes, but from those eyes that hear these things and see these things and how it affects them. But then on the other hand, we all have an opportunity each and every day, wherever we go and whatever we do, to do just the opposite. To accept, to love, to not judge, to not guilt or shame or condemn, but to be Your hands and feet, to share with those around us what it really looks like to be a follower of this Jesus, who He is, what He is, and how much He loves. And so, Lord, I just pray that today, maybe in some way, by getting all of this out, we're just a little more aware of what people hear, what people see, what people think, and what we can do to change that. To exchange those thoughts and those words and those actions for the real You. And may we be that kind of example. We can't make anybody believe. We can't make anybody do anything. But we can certainly show who You are and what You're like so that a true reflection of this Jesus is out there. That's my prayer, not just today, for all of us. But every day, every week, all the time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. See you next week. Maybe.